D-Mace, Ving, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Willie Donick is off to Buffalo with the Nashville Predators. They take on the Sabres tomorrow night in the first half of a back-to-back. Joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, the one and only Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, brought to you by Old National Bank. Elliot, the Vancouver Canucks were here last night. They defeated the Predators. Their winning streak is now at three games. If this situation, if this situation wasn't messy enough, Jim Rutherford conducts an interview with a national newspaper in Canada, where he basically says that the rift between Elias Pettersson and JT Miller is beyond repair, and it could change the trajectory of the franchise. It seems inevitable, Elliot, that one of these two players is going to be traded. If and when that time comes, what kind of return are the Canucks expecting on either one of those players?
Well, I think, Adam, like, you've been around long enough, you know that those interviews don't come without a reason, right?
Yes.
They're calculated. There's a reason they do it. And the reason in this case, I think, was to prepare the Canuck fans, Canuck Nation, that this could happen. And the second reason was to prepare them for the return might not be what you think it is. And I think I'll tell you this. Carolina had a choice last week, Rantanen or Pettersson. And they chose Rantanen, and I think Natchez would have been an either deal. So that would have been you look at Natchez for Pettersson, you say at least you can see that. I think the thing with Miller is they had a deal with the Rangers, it looked like, for Hedl, a first and a prospect. So I think that's kind of what it would look like for Miller. So there's a lot. I think that's kind of what you're looking at. But I think one of the key things that they're saying is, you know what? It might not be what you hope or think it is, but we feel we have to do this.
When I think of Pettersson specifically, Elliot, I know there are a lot of implications that go into this, namely the salary cap. And Elias Pettersson makes $11.6 million per season. So whichever team acquires him is going to have to make a lot of room for him. As a player, he checks a lot of boxes for what the Predators could use. They need a number one center who's young and they can build around. Barry Trotz has been aggressive. He doesn't want to rebuild. He wants to stay competitive. The Predators have a deep war chest of draft picks and young prospects. So on paper, the idea of the Predators getting into this mix makes a lot of sense. Again, I emphasize the salary cap. The Predators would have to move out significant money, so that may throw a wrench into all of this. But could you see the Predators at least being in the mix for Elias Pettersson specifically if it gets to that point?
Do you guys have a center you can give back?
That's the $11.6 million question.
See, like, Adam, like, I think everything you propose there makes a lot of sense. Like, why wouldn't you be interested in someone like him? And, yes, you are looking for a center. But Vancouver has Vancouver at times, though, they've also said they might consider doing futures for it. So let's just play the game for the great fans of Nashville. Do you have a center who's maybe not at NHL? Maybe a bit of a future who could be in a deal. Basically, do you have a center in your organization that you think Vancouver would be tempted by?
Not one that's NHL proven.
Okay. Again, is there somebody there, a prospect that somebody might look at and say, okay?
Could they see David Edstrom, the player they got in the Askarov deal, as someone who could be that person? I don't know. It's a good question.
I think the thing is with Vancouver, and this is the thing that you got to remember all this, it has been a little bit of a moving target. First of all, and I think for Pettersson, they are expecting more than for Miller. Like the Pettersson return, if they had done that deal with Carolina, it was Natchez plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Miller deal I was not as big a package. So I think if you're looking for Pettersson, like you've got to step up with a lot more. If you're looking for Miller, I don't know. Vancouver has at times said they would consider futures. So just for the purposes of this conversation, it would be how does Vancouver feel about him? But the farther away someone is, I think the harder it is to see it happening.
Elliot
like
Friedman.
For Pettersson, too, I really think it would be tough to see that. I think it would be tough for Vancouver to sell that, unless there was somebody else coming that was a whopper.
Elliot Friedman joining us on the program. Elliot, correct me if I'm wrong. You began your illustrious career covering the NBA, yes?
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Adam. I really appreciate that.
Of course. I just want to make sure that I had my facts straight. The thing that I loved about this trade last week between Carolina and Colorado, and also Chicago was in there too, was it was reminiscent of an NBA-style blockbuster trade that we see regularly in the NBA versus the NHL, which is, well, we'll give you this third-round pick for this third-line center. So I loved how big that trade was. Do you think that that type of transaction last week that we saw in the NHL could spur other general managers to be a bit more adventurous when it comes to making trades like this?
I think it's possible. I think the other thing that is a factor here is that, you know, salaries are really going places. And I don't have a problem with that. I think everybody should be able to negotiate what they can. I never have an issue with somebody arguing for the best possible financial outcome for themselves. Adam, the cap, not next year. I think the cap will be in the mid to high 90s next year. But the year after, it's going to be in the hundreds. And I think at that point, I think some teams are getting nervous. And, you know, the other thing, too, is you guys remember when you signed Josi, and that's what, 9.59?
9.059,
like massive, yes. 9.059. Like, that was a massive deal. It still is. And Josi deserves every penny. Now, the top paid player, we've gone the last few years from 12.5 to 12.6 to 13.25 and now 14. And the agents are getting very good at one particular strategy, and that is arguing percentage of cap. And they're saying, okay, well, the highest percentage of cap is McDavid, 15.72 when he signed. And there's three other guys, Dreisaitl, Matthews, and I'm forgetting, oh, McKinnon, who signed for above 15%. But so like a guy like Rantanen, who's a great player, and he's represented by the same people who represent Dreisaitl and got his deal done, they're like percentage of the cap. And it's not even the stars who are arguing this. It is like everybody up and down the roster who's arguing this. It's a good strategy if you're an agent. And the teams are starting to say, whoa, like this is not where we are comfortable with. And I think that's what you're seeing here, Adam, is that once one team makes a decision like that, other teams start to say, well, maybe we should think about it. And we're not comfortable with where a lot of this is going. So I do think that there could be more of this. I'm just curious, like there's some big free agents this summer. Rantanen is still one. Marner is another one. Like these guys are up in that area, and I'm really curious to see where it's going to go.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thought Podcast. Now, Elliot, speaking of contracts, Brady Shea, obviously, you know, he's under contract for seven AAV for up until, what, 2031?
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
How do you think this contract ages? Because right now he's struggling. He's gotten better, but he's still struggling at sort of finding his way in this offense. So how do you think this contract ages out?
You know, I think this, Derek. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of guys who struggle in the first year of a big contract. I do. I've seen it a lot. Unless the Predators and Shea are seeing something that is so egregious that they can't come back from it, I would love to see him in year two. Like this year, it's been a very disappointing year. We all know that. We don't need to rehash it for a lot of different reasons. But there was a reason you signed Brady Shea, and he was a good player and still is a good player. Like, unless something is happening behind the scenes that I don't know of that is making the Nashville Predators and Brady Shea say, let's end this experiment. There's no way it can work. I believe you're coming back for year two. I think you have an honest conversation after the season about what went right and what went wrong. I think you demand that Brady Shea have a great and work out hard and come back ready to go, which I will expect he does. I think he also tells you, this is what I think worked and what I think didn't work, and you start again next season. I just think that there's too many players over the years, Derek, who've had a good career, go somewhere, they have the big contract, they struggle a little bit, and then once year two comes, they're calmer, they're more confident, they have a better expectation, and they recover. And unless you tell me there's some reason why it can't happen, that's the plan I come back with.
Now, based upon what you know they have in their farm league and obviously what they have on this roster, this is a team that isn't aging well in the sense of they are one of the top oldest teams in hockey, at least from the forward standpoint. From what you know from the farm league and the guys on the team, can they make that mess soon enough with the younger guys and the older guys? Because eventually, we talked about this yesterday, eventually, you know, it's going to have to happen. Because if it doesn't happen now, these older guys are doing nothing but getting older. And if you don't get these younger guys, you know, on board and on board very quickly, then you may run out of that window that you've set for yourself this offseason.
Yeah, you know what, that's all true. I think, like, the one thing I really do believe, Derek, is there's a lot of honest conversations happening behind the scenes there. Like, nobody has a year like you guys have had this year without everybody telling each other the truth, right? And, you know, I think that, number one, I want to see what your team looks like after the deadline. I think some teams are circling around a couple of your centers. So let's see what happens. Number two, let's see, I thought it was interesting that Barry came out in the second best hockey radio interview of the week in Nashville and said, if the team is, you know, in contention, I may add. And, you know, obviously that didn't go very well last night. He's trying to motivate them a little bit. So it says to me that he's still got a lot of things out there he's considering. But I'm curious to see if any of these kids get a shot, Derek, at the end of the season. Like, does one of your young guys get a chance to come up and show what they can do at the NHL level? And that can probably inform your decisions as much as anything else. But, you know, overall, I really believe that it's already started. The decompression on why this year happened the way it did. And, you know, like, the other thing, too, is a lot of these guys you signed, they've got no move and no trade clauses, right? And so they can only go if they want to go. And I don't know that a lot of those guys really want to go anywhere, at least not right now. And the other thing, too, is, like, look, like, for Stamkos especially, it was such a huge change. Like, I got to think, like, some of these guys, they'll be next year comfortable, feel just better idea of what to expect, getting over the shock of some of their decisions, and I would expect it to be a lot better.
Elliot, one more before you go. You had the initial report a few weeks ago regarding the Predators and Ryan O'Reilly. I've been reading a lot lately about whether there's a fit between O'Reilly and the Maple Leafs. We know that he was there a couple of years ago as a rental. There's the Craig Berube element of it now. I'm wondering if you see a fit between O'Reilly and the Maple Leafs part two, if it came to that for the Predators.
I would say this, Adam. When it comes to Ryan O'Reilly, I think you can make a fit anywhere. The bigger question is, do the Maple Leafs have what it takes to wrench Ryan O'Reilly loose from the Predators? And I don't think that's necessarily the case. And second thing, too, is O'Reilly, one of the reasons O'Reilly went to Nashville was he wasn't that crazy about Toronto.
Right.
And, from everything I've heard, and even Barry Trotz came public and said it, if Ryan O'Reilly's not comfortable with Toronto, Barry Trotz isn't sending him there. So, and also, I think he said it to Jared, too, that it would take a big return. I'd be Toronto doesn't have a lot of great young prospects or picks. Unless they're taking something off their roster that's pretty big, which I don't see happening, I can't see the fit.
Elliot Freeman joining us on the program, sponsored by Old National Bank. Elliot, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Speak to you next week.
Yep. Thank you. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet, NHL insider extraordinaire, joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. If you have any reactions to Elliot, you can get that in on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But coming up next, I thought it would be a good day to travel down memory lane with one Derek Mason. And we'll tell you why. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.